our vision of our church. This is what we're all about. You got to have a vision for a church. Vision leaks. If you don't have a vision, if you don't have a something out on the map, out on the horizon, saying this is what we're all about, you can become about anything. And so let's say it together. You guys ready? We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. So we're doing this for the greater glory of God. And so that's what we're all about. We're loving Jesus and loving each other, and we're growing Jesus together. We're going by serving each other, serving our community. We're serving missions. In fact, we've even got a meeting coming up pretty soon. It'll be in your bulletin, I think, next week. But it's an interest meeting to take a Haiti missions trip. And so if you have not been to Haiti yet, then you have probably not peed on the side of the road. And so listen, you gotta go. That's why you wear the long dresses, I know. And that's right, that'll make you want to go. So Lori will be holding an interest meeting, and it's gonna be a great time. It's gonna be a great trip to Haiti. And so we're all about that. So what we're doing this morning is we are wrapping up our Loving Our City to Life series, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it. We've been talking about how God can partner with you and me to rewrite the story of our city, and that's what we want. You know, there's a story being written. You can read it in the paper. You can watch it on the news. It's a story of pain. It's a story of hopelessness. It's a story of dysfunction, and we're rewriting that story to one of hope, to one of healing, to one of purpose, okay? And so we've talked about getting a dream for our city. And a couple of people had some dreams, some ideas, how they can bless our city and things like that. And they posted them to the cross. And I would thoroughly encourage you to keep that up. If you get an idea, if you get a dream, if you say, man, there's something, I've got some far out idea, and everybody might think I'm nuts. But I'm gonna write it on a post-it. I'm going to pin it to the cross. And we're going to pray for those ideas. We're going to pray for your dreams for the city, because we believe that God ignites dreams in us. Right, that God ignites purpose in us, that God gives us ideas that make change, right? And we partner with Him. So we talked about getting a dream and committing to seeing it through, committing to seeing the city through God's eyes, right? That when we drive around, we're not looking at the city through our own eyes, we're looking at it through God's eyes. And can I just say, even when you just say, God, help me to see the city through your eyes, it changes everything, right? Because a lot of things that irritate us about the city or irritate us about the neighborhood suddenly become matters of prayer. We understand that there's hurt and there's pain and there's dysfunction behind them. And so we want to see people and see the city through God's eyes. And we want to make ourselves available to bring in the kingdom here. Okay? So make ourselves available to being change agents, as the old worn-out saying goes, to be the change we want to see. And we also talked about being God's agent for change in the marketplace, right? Through our jobs. Remember? You can't complain and fulfill God's purpose in your workplace at the same time, right? And so we'll talk about that a little bit more today, but and how God wants to change the city through our own entrepreneurialism, that when we create jobs, when we create businesses and we create jobs in our city, that's part of bringing the kingdom of God. And so restoration doesn't just end with spiritual restoration. Oh, we got some people to say a prayer. But restoration continues on through the restoration of our marriages and families and homes and workplaces and a restoration of the economy. And so God wants to do those things through us and through you. And so the change in the city, you are God's change agent. There's no plan B. That's it. Okay? And so we can't delegate our role as the church in our city. Okay, because a lot of us, we want to do that. We want to delegate our role. Because what do we say when we say something needs to change? What do we use? What usually comes out of our mouth? They need to do something. They should do something. Can I just tell you, you are they. And as long as our attitude and our heart is, they need to do something, they should do something, they need to change this, they need to change that, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to happen. You're they. There's no plan B. You can't delegate the kingdom of God in our city to some civic authority. Okay? It has to be us or it's not going to change. And so one of the reasons why I believe that the Old Town neighborhood looks like the Old Town neighborhood, you know, we were talking with some other people not too long ago, it's almost like the forgotten neighborhood in Moline, is because there has been no church in the Old Town neighborhood for decades. We are the only church in the Old Town neighborhood proper. Okay? So within the boundary lines of Old Town, we're the only church. Okay, so if we don't make it happen, it's not going to happen. If we don't pray, if we don't serve, if we don't go, if we don't be good neighbors, it's just not going to happen. And so today what I want to do is I want to talk about loving our city through prayer, and we're going to get into that. But you know, each week during this series, I've been sharing a story of a city that was completely transformed, right? Y'all remember? Remember last week what I talked about? It was Guatemala, the city in Guatemala that now has, they now have a sign up as you drive into the city that says Jesus is Lord over, what is it, Alamogordo? I want to say Alamogordo because that's like New Mexico. I used to live in New Mexico. But Almolonga. And so, you know, they had to shut down the four jails there. There used to be 33 bars in the city. Now there's only three. And now there's 33 churches, go figure. And so God does things sometimes on a citywide level. And before that, we talked about that town, was it North Carolina? And how drugs were so rampant there that the drug dealers would just sort of deal out in the open and they had no fear. And they were taking away literally all the teenagers. I mean, they were worried about losing a generation, but people began to pray. And the entire city has changed now. And so I wanted to mention, this was something that took place back in like 1904. And it happened in the country of Wales. How many have ever heard of the Welsh Revival? Okay, a couple of people, the Welsh Revival. So, I mean, this went from being just one city to the entire country, right? Wales. And so it all started, this huge revival, when a few people in a local church started to... Yeah. Okay. Hasn't that been the theme? Like every week it all started when a church just started praying. And this one little local church started to pray. And one night at a prayer meeting, this 26-year-old guy, like I used to think 26 was like firmly in the adult years. Like now I see a 26-year-old, like it's just a kid. He's like, 26, he's just a 26-year-old kid. Anybody ever said that one? He's a 26-year-old kid? Yeah. Not now, like, and the older I get now, it's like, he's just a 30-year-old kid. You know, it kind of goes a little higher the older I get, you know? He's just a 35-year-old kid. And so one night at a prayer meeting in New Key, a 26-year-old man named Evan Roberts was asked if he would just share for a couple minutes at the end of the prayer meeting. So the prayer meeting was just about over, and the pastor was like, hey, Evan, if you want to share for about 5 minutes, you go right ahead. And so Evan Roberts stands up, and he says four things. He's just quick message, 5 minutes. He says, everybody, every believer must do four things. And the first one, he said, confess any known sin to God and put away any wrong done to others. So in other words, he's saying, confess any sin that you have to God, any unconfessed sin, confess it to God, and any wrong that you have or ought that you have or offenses that you have with somebody else, make it right. Okay, so that was number one. Make things right with God, make things right with others. And then number two, he said, put away any doubtful habit. So any habit that you have that is doubtful, any habit that you have that's dragging you down, any habit that you have that's kind of in that gray area where you're going, well, here's holiness, here's what I believe is righteousness and what God has called us, the way God has called us to live. And then over here, you know, these things are blatant, you know, blatant sin, and, you know, we know that we're not doing that. But then there's this gray area that a lot of people like to operate in, and they're sort of like, well, I have the freedom to do so, so I'm going to do so. And Evan Roberts is going, hey, don't just put away the things that are obvious, but put away the gray areas. The things that are sort of like, I don't know, you know, it could go either way, or kind of depends on what sort of background you're from. And Evan Roberts says, anything doubtful in your life, gray in your life, just get rid of it and just walk in this area of holiness, okay? So you're tracking with me so far? So just four things. So confess any known sin to God and put away any wrong done to others. Put away any doubtful habit. And then he says, obey the Holy Spirit promptly. Obey the Holy Spirit promptly. That was number three. So anytime you feel like the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and we've done that before, we've all done that before, right? We've seen a need. If you've been watching TV or something like that, late at night, you can't sleep, and all of a sudden, like, you know, some commercial comes on for Feed the Children, and it breaks your heart, and then your heart is going, man, I should at least just call them up and go, you know, give them $25 or something, right? And then you go, yeah, my wallet's upstairs, right? Holy Spirit's prompting you to bless somebody. Holy Spirit's prompting you to do something, to step out or whatever. And we kind of put the Holy Spirit off, and then it usually just doesn't happen, right? I've done it many times, okay? So he's saying, obey the Holy Spirit promptly. So right away, when you feel the Holy Spirit moving on your heart, obey promptly. And then fourth, he said, confess Christ openly. Confess Christ openly, right? And in other words, don't be ashamed of being a believer. Don't be ashamed of saying that you're a Christian. Don't be ashamed of saying that you follow Jesus, okay? The world should know and that you follow Jesus, right? It says, Scripture says they'll know that we are Christians by our love, right? Our love for one another and our love for Him. And so confess Christ openly. Don't be ashamed. So he says, confess any known sin to God, put away any doubtful habit, obey the Holy Spirit promptly, confess Christ openly. The very small handful of people that were there at that meeting that night were so convicted and so challenged by that message that literally they began to weep and to pray and to fall on their knees. And something just incredible happened at that church that night. And it came because people responded to the Holy Spirit, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And can I just say, in case you're like, what's the conviction of the Holy Spirit? You know, and sometimes, you know, we'll read from the Word of God and you'll feel like a little bit bad about it, right? And some people are like, man, I just feel condemned. No, that's not condemnation. That's the Holy Spirit working on you to change your life. And so they felt so convicted by the Holy Spirit that they came back every night to pray. And as they prayed, that prayer meeting grew, and other people came, and they joined them. And as they prayed, sometimes people would be walking by the church, and they'd hear them inside praying, and they'd go in there to see what's going on, and then they would give their lives to Jesus. And this movement of God spread, and it's estimated that over 100,000 people made a commitment to Jesus over the next year. 100,000 people, that's massive. That is huge, okay? That's more than the population of Moline, all right? 100,000 people. A description of the Welsh revival of 1904 reads, the bars were not the only places to be emptied. Dance halls, theaters, football matches, they all saw a dramatic decline in attendance. The courts and jails were deserted and the police found themselves without any work to do. A story is told of policemen who closed their stations to form a choir to sing at revival meetings because they had nothing else to do. Long-standing debts were repaid, church and family feuds were healed, and a new unity of purpose was felt across denominational divides. One report even adds that even the graffiti changed from obscenities to Bible verses. So, man, you know when the graffiti changes, God is moving. Probably like one of my favorite pieces of graffiti is in Ireland, and it's in a town called Dundalk, and I think I posted a picture of it on Facebook, but actually somebody wrote on the wall, they spray painted, thanks for reading. Is that like the best? Do you remember that? That was there, and it's still there. So like what's crazy is all the other graffiti has been washed off on that side of the street, but that one line, thanks for reading, is still there. So apparently, somebody was amused by that. But even the graffiti went from obscenities to Bible verses. So how can we pray life into our neighborhood? How can we pray life into our city? And when you're not quite sure where to start, I know it could be hard. But we're going to talk about that. That's what I want to talk about today. And we're going to have help from our kids. We're going to have a great time. Let's pray first, though. God, we love you so much. And we pray, Lord, that you would bring revival. That you, God, would start with us with a spirit of prayer. Lord, that we would be people that are committed to praying to see you move in our city and see you move in our neighborhood. God, just cause your word to come alive in us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so what we're going to do today, and hopefully you guys are going to stay for the potluck. There should be plenty of food back there, and if there's not, then we'll just run out and get some. But I'm glad that you guys are here. So we're going to start off by taking a look at the story of Joshua, okay? Joshua was the leader of the Israelites when the Israelites didn't have a place to go home. So during this time of Israel's history, they were literally kind of wandering around the wilderness. They were following God through the wilderness, and they came to a point finally where God said, okay, I'm ready to give you the land. I'm ready to give you your home. But here's the deal. There's a whole lot of wicked people living in the land, and you're going to have to go conquer them. and then the land is yours. Remember we talked about that a little bit last week, okay? But he's saying you're going to have to conquer these people, and then you can have the land. And so there's this place called Jericho, okay? And Jericho was a city that was super, like, fortified. Y'all know what that means? Okay, there was this massive wall built around Jericho. In fact, they say that the wall was so big and so wide that they were able to, like, race chariots across the top of the wall. It was so big. And so on this story, it talks a little bit about sort of like a military battle, but I believe that it's going to teach us how to do spiritual battle for our city. And so, but the only thing is I need a couple people. I need some help. First, I need a couple of adults. I need, okay, Dan, I see that hand. Come on up here. Hallelujah, I see that hand. All right, Andy, come on, quit begging, just get up here. Enough. Oh, geez. Will, okay, Will, come up here. I see you, it's enough, okay? Whew. So let's have the grown-up stand right here. So one of you be the center. You're going to be the wall. So you're going to be the center of the wall. So Andy's the wall. And then Dan, you just stand right here, closer to Andy. Good. You guys are a wall, right? So no gaps in the wall. Touch shoulders. Yeah, there we go. All right. So these guys are going to be the wall. And there's this... Yeah, that'd be excellent. Excellent. So there's this wall that surrounded Jericho. And so God gave... the Israelites sort of some marching orders, okay? They told them to do some things that were sort of strange, sort of crazy, all right? And so I need, let's see here, I need somebody to go, let's see here. How about, we need a Joshua. Who wants to be a Joshua? Okay, all right, Ava, come on, you come be Joshua, okay? And then we also need, let's see here, we need a priest. Who wants to be a priest? Oh, okay, all right. Come on. And then actually two priests, so you can come too. Okay, so you guys come up there. Oh, that's okay. You don't have to clean that up right now. Yeah, Wendy will get that. Okay, so these are our priests. Okay, and then we also need somebody to blow the trumpet. You can blow the trumpet. Why? You don't want to blow the trumpet? All right, Cal, come on up here. Come on up here. And then we need one more. Cale, come up here and be the guard. You're going to be the guard. So okay. So here's what we'll do. Let's see here. Who are you again? You're Joshua. Okay, excellent. I thought your name was Ahava. Okay, so we need our priests. So you're going to stand right here, Priest S. And you're going to stand behind her right there. And you guys are going to carry the ark, okay? So if you... put your hands on that, and if you can reach behind you, and then so go ahead and sort of turn forward, and then you can reach behind you. It'll be easier. No, turn that way towards your dad, the wall. Yeah, there you go. You'll get it. That's a nice dance. All right. So you guys are carrying the ark, okay? And then what are you? You're the trumpet dude. Okay. So you're gonna go up there with Joshua. So you're gonna be up there with Joshua. All right. So you go right in front of your sister, and you go right in front of Cal. Right there, and then you're gonna be the guard who walks along behind them. Okay, so pretend like you're holding a sword. Sword. There you go. That's a pretty good sword. It looks kind of like you're holding something else, but okay. So like you're holding like a torch or something. Okay. So right here. So in a line, just like that. So we got that. So this is our crew. Okay, and so here's what happened. I'm gonna read the scripture. Okay, and then I'll tell you what to do. Okay, so. We're going to do Joshua, and it is chapter 6, starting with verse 12. So we'll get that on the screen. It says, Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. Say, we're the priests. Excellent. Okay. Okay. The seven, well, there's only two priests. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpet. Okay. So that's Cal, just one priest. We don't want to have seven. There's just not enough room up here for all those people, right? Okay. So the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. So walk around the wall and blow those trumpets, Cal. Blow the trumpet, Cal. Okay, that's... I think you need to clean out your spit valve. Okay. Okay, stop right there. Stop right there. Blowing the trumpet, marching with the Ark of the Lord, blowing the trumpets. The armed men, okay, let's do this. The armed men went ahead of them. No, you're going to be the rear guard, okay? And followed them around the city once and returned to camp. So, okay, go ahead one more time around the walls. Yes. All right, and then you'll return to camp over here. Excellent. Okay, so on the second day, they marched around the city and returned to camp. They did this for 6 days. So let's pretend that you just did it for 6 days. They did this for 6 days. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner that they all circled the city 7 times. So let's just do 2 times. Go ahead and blow that trumpet. Okay, good. Blow the trumpet. Guard, make sure nobody attacks them. All right, one more time. And stop. We'll call that 7, okay? Here's what's cool. The 7th time, around when the priest sounded the trumpet blast. Okay, good. Joshua commanded the army. Get ready to Joshua. Joshua said, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. So shout. Yeah, no, all of you, shout. Priests, Joshua, guard, trumpet blower, shout at the wall. Shout at the wall. Shout. Shout at the wall. You're killing me. Shout. All right. Excellent. So when the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. Woo! And everyone charged straight in and took the city. All right, guys, which all meant they... Yeah, good job. Okay. Good job. You guys can put the ark down. Thank you. Thank you very much. You all did a great job. Yes. Great. Gracie made sure to take a bow, okay? I love this story. This story is one of my favorites in the whole Bible. I love it even better when they actually shout. And... But the walls around our city, you know, we talk about our city. We talk about just the walls of Jericho. You know, in our city, we don't have literal walls to march around, you know. But the walls around our city are their abuse. The walls around our city are addiction, their poverty, their pain. And they keep people from walking in God's purposes for their lives. Because listen, every neighbor that we have, every business that we have here, everyone in our city has a purpose that God has for their lives. But these things keep people from walking in God's purpose for their lives. Okay? And if we're going to see the walls come down that I'm talking about today, then we have to do a few things, starting with this. And I want, if you remember anything at all, please remember this today. And this is the first point. Loving our city to life means taking God's presence with us wherever we go. So when we're going to love our city to life, if we're going to see hope, if we're going to see restoration, if we're going to see these things, it means taking God's presence with us wherever we go. Now, the ark that the priests carried was very unique in that it was like almost like a box that contained God's presence. I know we can't contain God's presence, right? But God's presence dwelled, actually, between the two, there's two angels on the top of the box, and God's presence dwelt right there. And so they carried God's presence with them into, in their sense, was like a military action. They're like, we're walking around the city, God has told us to take the city, I don't know what's gonna how it's going to happen, the walls are massive, but we're going to take God's presence with us. And if we're going to see change in our workplace, if we're going to see change in our city, if we're going to see change in our neighborhood, if we're going to see change in our school, then we've got to be people who take God's presence with us wherever we go. We can't be people who leave God's presence here when we leave here on Sundays. All right? That's not God's desire or God's design for our lives to just come in here, experience God, kind of go, okay, God's presence was great this morning, but I'm going to leave it here and I'm going to go off and I'm going to do my thing, and God's presence is going to be the last thing on my mind. Okay, the Israelites carried it with them, carried God's presence with them as they marched around the city. They had the ark with them, they had God's presence with them, and they worshiped, Scripture says. So as they're walking around the city, they're worshiping God. So, you know, when was the last time that we went into our jobs and we intentionally said, I'm inviting God's presence to be here? right? So when we go into our job and we sit in our cubicle, or we go into the office, or we go into the jail, or we go wherever, and we say, I'm carrying God's presence with me. I'm inviting and praying, Holy Spirit, come into my workplace, into whatever I'm doing, into my classroom, okay? I mean, some of us, we maybe like to play music in our office, right? When was the last time we just went, you know what, from now on, it's worship music. I'm inviting God's presence right here into my cubicle. I'm inviting God's presence right here into my booth, right here into my office, right here, right here, right here. I'm carrying God's presence with me. If we are going to rewrite the story of our city and loving our city to life, it means taking God's presence with us everywhere that we go. We are carriers of God's presence, right? We are now the temple, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And so I hope that when you drive into the neighborhood, and how many of you guys have ever driven into the neighborhood and went, ugh? Just be honest. Yeah, Josh. Okay? Yeah. Like you know, we go, ugh. Yeah, especially in the wintertime. It's like it's the last place to get plowed, right? And it's so funny. And sometimes we do that. But when we get that sort of ugh sensation, that should be a prompt to pray for our neighborhood. That should be a prompting to pray for our city and say, God, I just invite your presence here. I invite your presence on this street. I invite your presence in this neighborhood. I invite your presence into our city. When you enter a local business, when you walk into a local business, do you pray? Do you, God, bless this place? Bless this place. You know, we get like these serial businesses in some of these buildings, don't we? It's like, okay, now it's this office, and, you know, in about 6 months, it's going to be, like, a hair extension place. In about 6 months, it's going to be, you know, a quick loan place. You know, and so we get, like, these serial businesses. When was the last time you walked in and you just said, God, let your presence be here? God, bless this business, and let my weave turn out good, you know? And so when was the last time you walked in and you blessed that place, okay? Have you ever offered to pray for a stranger? There's something crazy about praying for a stranger, but there's something incredibly powerful about it. We say, hey, man, I noticed that you are limping. Or, hey, you know, you ever see somebody out in public crying? And you go, oh, man, that doesn't look good. Something just happened. Could you imagine what like a blessing that you could be? You go, can I just say a quick prayer for you? You know, we have that privilege and that honor of taking God's presence with us wherever we go. We are carriers of his presence, and we can bring it with us. So that's the first thing. The second thing is this. Loving our city to life is counterintuitive. It's counterintuitive. It's so, you know what? Love itself is counterintuitive, right? Real love, true love, it doesn't make sense sometimes. And I'm sure that some of the Israelites, listen, we read this story, and we're like, oh yeah, this is the story of where the walls of Jericho fall down. They didn't have that luxury. They didn't know the walls were going to fall down. They probably thought Joshua was nuts. I would, right? This is a military action. We're going to take this city by walking around it and praying and shouting and blowing trumpets. That's absolutely nuts. Loving our city to life is completely counterintuitive. And so culture tells us that if we want to make change, what does culture say? If you want to make change, then you got to come up with a hashtag, right? If you really want to make change in our world, come up with an awesome, contagious hashtag, right? Start protesting stuff. Let your voice be heard. You know, make some noise on social media. Get a little ugly. Can I just tell you that when we get ugly and we come up with these sort of like protesting anti-hashtags, those things only make the walls stronger. How many times have you seen something that was just an obnoxious cry that is contrary to your beliefs, and you went, that just makes me want to dig in my heels more, right? Those things are not effective. They're not. Okay, this whole idea of awareness and making my voice be heard, it's contradictory. It doesn't make change. It just causes people to create greater dividing lines between us instead of uniting us. So loving our city to life is completely counterintuitive. And there's nothing loving by shaming somebody who has contrarian beliefs than you. That's not loving, okay? And love wins. Every time, love wins. And we know this, but we still like to, you know, hashtag whatever, okay? God calls us to share in Christ's ministry of compassion. That's what God calls us to do, to share in Christ's ministry of compassion. And he leads us to serve and to love others. That's why we do this neighborhood Halloween party. You know, there's a whole, I'm sure, there's a whole lot of people who come through to the neighborhood Halloween party that I'm sure have opinions or have lifestyles that we would probably go, ew, right? But we don't bring change. We don't love them to life by, you know, saying, hey, you got to clean up before you step up on this, onto this parking lot. You need to change those things. Hey, you need to take out those, that's ridiculous. In fact, I just talked to a guy not too long ago, just like on Wednesday, who was told by someone that he had to take his piercings out. And can I just tell you that, like, it did nothing to draw him closer to like, the Lord or anything like that. And so that's just ridiculous. Love people. Love people. You know what? If you have piercings, that's okay. Wear them. All right? It doesn't make sense in human terms to just love and serve. But you know what? Love wins. Love wins, love wins, love wins. And the next thing is this, okay? Loving our city to life requires a long-term commitment to pray for it. It requires a long-term commitment to pray for it. If you want to see change in your city, then pray for it. And you know what? Pray for it some more. And keep praying for it. And regardless of how discouraged or disgusted you get, just keep praying. Okay? Now, we look at Scripture here, and we see how they marched around the city 7 days. And you're like, well, that's not very long. 7 days isn't very long. But there were armed soldiers on top of the walls with weapons aimed at them. I'm sure those days felt really long. Really, really long, okay? I mean, if you had a pot of boiling oil hung over your head and you had guys with bows and arrows standing over you as you marched around the city 7 times, it probably felt like an eternity, okay? And so just keep praying. We should be praying for our city daily. We should put that on our to-do list. And hopefully you have a little to-do list or a prayer list. But pray for holiness and humility in our city. Pray for revival in our churches. You know, if the church lived as the church should be living, then we wouldn't even be talking about this today. You know, if the church was doing what the church was supposed to be doing, and I'm talking about the big C church, the church at large in America, we wouldn't even be having this discussion. All right? Pray for the church to be stirred up. Pray for revival in our churches. Pray for prayer in our churches. Pray that people in our churches get on their knees, and that you can tell that you're a Christian because the knees on your jeans are worn out, right? That should be like one of the first signs. And so pray for prayer in our churches. Pray for unity in our churches. And when we see this all the time, you know, we have this camp for abused and neglected foster children. We love it. But every once in a while, we'll have a pastor. We had a pastor actually contact us not long ago and say, I don't want my people involved in your camp. And I just thought, oh God, we need unity in the church. We need unity in the church. We need to see a common vision. We need the church, because one church can't do it, right? And so we need to pray for unity among believers. Pray for Christians to pray more. Pray for more prayer. That's something that we should be praying for as believers. Praying that the church prays more. Praying that the people pray more. Pray for prayerful leaders. Pray that our mayor spends more time in prayer. Right? Pray that our civic leaders spend more time in prayer. Pray that our law enforcement spends more time in prayer, okay? Pray. It takes a long-term commitment to pray. You might not see results for a while, but don't give up. One of the things that just I hate to hear more than anything else, and it just makes me want to go, la, 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 la. You ever do that when you're a kid? Plug your ears, la, la, oh, oh, you know, is when somebody goes, I tried praying, it didn't work. You know, oh, I tried that and it didn't work. You don't understand how prayer works then, you know? And sometimes we need to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray, right? When Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, actually, if you read the Hebrew of that, you would see that what he's saying is, or the Greek of that, you would see that he's saying is pray and keep on praying. Pray and keep on praying and you'll receive, right? Pray and keep on praying, that we would be people that pray and not give up and just say, you know, I refuse to give up praying for my city until I see change. The next thing is this, is speak life over our city, right? Speak life. We need to be speaking life over our schools, speaking life over our businesses, speaking life over our cities. You know, we talked about last week, when you complain about your job, you can't walk in God's purposes in your job. You won't see change and complain at the same time. And promotion doesn't come when we point out the problems at our workplaces, Promotion comes when we point out solutions at our workplaces, right? That we should be people of solutions. That people are like, man, that guy must be a Christian because he comes up with the most creative solutions to the problems in my workplace. You know, that we should be the people that come up with solutions, not point out the problems. It's easy to complain, but you can't complain and fulfill God's purposes at the same time. You can't complain and move forward at the same time. We need to be people that speak life over our city, life over our workplaces, life over our schools. The Israelites gave a victory shout when? After the walls came down? No, it was before the walls came down. They gave a victory shout before they even saw anything happen. In fact, circumstances were saying, you guys are doomed. You guys are going to have like a big rock rolled onto your heads. You're going to have boiling oil poured on you. You guys are about to have weights dropped on you. It's going to be ugly, right? They gave a victory shout when there was no evidence whatsoever that they were going to succeed in this. The only evidence that they had was they trusted God. They trusted God. And so the Israelites gave a victory shout before the walls came down, and they didn't know the end of the story like we do, all right? And so we need to speak life. We need to give those victory shouts. We need to praise God for our city before we even see anything happening. And I love it. We got like a couple people here at the church that will walk around the city with like a hefty bag and a rubber glove, and they will pick up trash, and they will pray for our neighborhood. And they do, and they pray for our neighborhood and pray for the neighborhood. And I love it because what they're doing is they're bringing the presence of God into our neighborhood. They're walking down the sidewalks. Not only are they physically making it a better place, but they're praying in an atmosphere of miracles. They're praying in God's spirit into our neighborhood. And they're praising God. And they're bringing that praise in. As they bring that praise, they bring the presence of God with them all through our neighborhood, making it a better place. Isn't that awesome? Man, you guys are weak. That is awesome. Man, thank God for people like that. So we need to pray that Christians pray more, okay? Speak life over our city, all right? Start talking about what God can do and start talking about the positive things and speak life. And then the last thing is this, is roll up your sleeves and do something, okay? Do something. Start a neighborhood watch, okay? Get to know your neighbors. So many of us don't even know our neighbors. You know, we don't know our neighbors' names. We don't know anything about them. We know that their kids come into our yard once in a while, and we get a little annoyed when they cut across. Or we know that sometimes people throw trash into our yards, and we get kind of annoyed by that and whatever. But get to know your neighbors. Get involved with camp. We have this camp for foster kids with Rock Island County. There are kids literally that live right here. They live in Rock Island. They live in Moline. There are kids that we run into at Walmart, kids that we run into at Hy-Vee. These are kids that are right here. And when we get involved with camp and we spend a week counseling them or serving them or loving them, you know, and they've been abused, they've been neglected, they've been bounced from foster home to foster home, and we get to take them and treat them like royalty for a week, that's awesome. We also have, we're starting a club where now, instead of just being with these kids 1 week out of the year, we're going to be with them once a month. And we're going to spend time with them once a month, and we're going to do one-on-one mentoring with them. Get involved with that because that's going to make a difference in your city. Listen, it's so easy to complain. It's so easy to badmouth our city. But when we don't do anything about it, okay, then we got no room to talk. We don't. And we can't keep playing the busy card, people. I'm just saying. That's like you know what, we do this whole thing where we complain and complain and complain about the president, but we're like, oh, I couldn't get off work to vote. I'm glad the kids are in here. You know what I'm saying? And so listen, we've got to be people that roll up our sleeves, to get involved, to serve others, to you know, plant a neighborhood garden, whatever it is on your heart, to carpool, to support local businesses, to vote, okay, and to prayerfully get involved with being a part of making our city great, and to pray. Listen, if you don't have time or resources to do anything else, you can pray. You can pray. You want, like, one of the most discouraging things as a pastor is when I say, hey, tonight we're getting together, we're going to pray for our city, and it's just me and Wendy, right? And it's like, okay, and then we get a couple of our leaders come up. Listen, we need to be people of prayer. We need to be people of prayer because prayer makes a difference. And we have to understand that prayer makes a difference. I remember when I was in high school, you know, it's crazy. I went to this high school in Kenosha, Wisconsin. That's where I grew up. And we were the Tremper Trojans. Yes, yeah, it was crazy, yeah. And we had the guy with the big Trojan, you know, broom head, you know, and he wore the Trojan armor, you know, it was our mascot. And we were the Tremper Trojans in high school. And I remember that it was my sophomore year of high school, junior year of high school. And I read this story and we shared it with a couple of other people. And we said, hey, why don't we try that for our school? Why don't we just show up at like 6:30 in the morning and we will walk around the school and we'll pray. And we'll do that 7 school days in a row, and on the last day, we'll walk around the school 7 times. And so we were a big high school. We were a high school of over 1,000 kids. And then the other high school across town, which a lot of the kids from my youth group went to, decided we're going to do that too. We're going to start praying around our school, and we're going to do that. We're going to do a Jericho prayer around our school. And then the Christian school that was there, which the Christian, like most Christian schools, are kids who got kicked out of the other schools, right? You know, I remember like speaking one morning at a Christian school, and I went, some of you guys are just here because you'd get your butts kicked at public school. But they decided to do it. And so we walked around the school on a just cold September morning every day for 7 days. We prayed around the school, and our youth group, we noticed that our youth group started to grow because kids at school just started to come talk to us, and we would start to share our faith with them, and we would pray for God's presence to be in our high schools. And our youth group grew from 45 kids to 600 kids in the span of about a year. And so we prayed and we prayed and we prayed, and we saw God move in such incredible, incredible ways. And so the youth group exploded. We had drug dealers coming in, and they quit dealing drugs. We had addicts come in, and they were just completely cleaned up. We just started to grow. And then the Christian school who was doing that, and they actually were having trouble because there were interruptions during classes with kids praying for each other. And so kids were actually, they're praying for each other, and the teacher would go, well, just go out in the hallway and do that. And sometimes the kids would pray for each other at the Christian school, and they'd have to leave them on the hallway because they just fell out in the Holy Spirit in the middle of school. And so we were seeing kids get healed, we were seeing kids get baptized in the Holy Spirit because people decided that they were going to commit to pray until they saw God do something. Prayer makes a difference. Okay? And so I believe that really is just a small taste of what God can do when we commit to pray. And so I want to do something today. First of all, I want to do this. I want to just challenge you guys. Put it on your calendar somehow, some way. Listen, a lot of times I make challenges, and it's so funny. I'll come back the next week, and I'll go, how many people have been doing the challenge? And like, Karen. And, you know, it's always Karen. She's always good for a challenge, you know. I want to challenge you guys, just every day for 7 weeks, pray for our city. And you know what? You don't have to make it for an hour. You don't have to do that. You don't have to, like, burn incense and smack yourself on the back with a branch. We don't do that anyway. You know, but for every day for 7 weeks, just pray for our city. Make a note, put it on your medicine cabinet, do something, just to say a short prayer for our city. And I believe that we'll see God do some things and do some amazing things. And so what I want to do just before we wrap up this morning, and we've got food back there and all that stuff, but I just wanted to spend just a couple minutes to pray for our city. And I have Lori and Karen, if you guys want to come up here, and we're just going to pray. So why don't we do this? Why don't you all just stand with me? And Wendy, you guys can come because this isn't going to take very long. So Wendy, you can come and bring the team with you. But I just want to spend just a couple minutes to pray for our city because God does things when we pray, right? Right?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'll start us off. God, we love you so much. You are amazing, God. You